We are addressing the subject tonight, making things right in the local church. Let me ask you to turn with me one verse that we're going to study tonight, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Making things right in the local church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, leave your Bible open here as we're going to study this one verse, verse 14. And I'm going to use the English Standard Version. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Now go back, take note of the verse, and we urge you. The word urge there means to stand alongside of. Look at the verse. We stand alongside you, brothers. That is brethren. These are Christians who are being addressed. We stand alongside you. Admonish the idle. We stand alongside you to encourage the faint-hearted. We stand alongside you to help the weak. We stand alongside you to be patient with them all. Being a Christian is not a hobby. Christianity is not something that we do to just round out our lives and to fill in some loose time. But Christianity must be the chief concern of our lives. And it must override everything else about our lives. Now, individually, we are Christians. Now follow me. But collectively, do you understand that we are more than just a group of people? Collectively, we are the church, the family of God, the bride of Christ, the army of the Lord. And because we are the church, because of what we are, and because of who we are, we must always do as the church, what is right. What is right. And that means that whenever problems arise, and that always seems to stun people, that there would be problems in the church. And there's always going to be problems in the church, not because of the institution. The institution is divine. It is perfect. But the problem is going to be is that this perfect institution is made up of very imperfect people. And these imperfect people are going to cause problems. But any time that there is a problem that arises, that problem must be fixed. And it must be fixed in a way that is right, because that's who we are. So here's what we're going to do with this single verse. I want us to take a look at some people who Paul mentions here that are in the church, but they are not right. These were folks who were helping to make up the body of Christ, but they weren't right. I want us to take a look at these people, and then I want us to take a look at how Paul says these people need to be dealt with, how they need to be handled. So, 3 points tonight. I don't have a poem, but I got 3 points. Number one, I want us to take a look at four different kinds of Christians that make up the church. And this is not an exhaustive list, but this is the list that's here. First of all, Paul talks about those who are idle. Those who are idle. This is having reference to those who evade their responsibility. Now look at the word, idle. Idle. There were some in the church who were idle. That word idle originally was a military term in Paul's day. It was a word that was given to a soldier who would not obey commands from his authority. So whether you take it as a person who's idle, whether you take it to be someone who is evading their responsibility or someone who is refusing to take orders, in this case, from the captain of our salvation, those Christians who are idle is talking about those Christians who are in the church who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. A Christian who does not faithfully attend the assembly on the first day of the week is idle. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. A Christian who is not involved or engaged in any area of service within the body of Christ is idle. They're idle. We are a body. In your human body, every member has a function. The function isn't the same, but they've all got a function. And in the body of Christ, all of us have a function. And when we are not functioning in the body of Christ, we are idle. And what that means is we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Christians who engage in sinful activity, whether it's the sins of attitude or the sins of action, they are idle. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So there are those in the church, Paul says, who are idle. Secondly, Paul says there are those in the church, the English Standard says, that are faint-hearted. Your translation may say timid. Faint-hearted or timid. The word has reference to those who are easily beset by the stresses of life. Those who are easily weighed down by life. There are some people who are never discouraged. Never discouraged. If the house fell on them, they get up and shake it off. Say, oh, I'm good. Let's go. Let's go. But then there are others who are always discouraged. They're always discouraged. It's always something or somebody. And they are easily beset by the stresses of life. And everything in life is a stress to them. And these are the people that we basically were talking about on Wednesday night about being allowing themselves to be choked by the word in Matthew 13, 22, when Jesus says that those who hear the word of God, their hearts are like the thorny soil in that their hearts become filled with everything that's going on in their lives and the cares and the worries of their life, that they actually choke God out. And there are Christians who in their heart, they are faint-hearted. They are just easily weighted down by what goes on in life. Number three, look at the verse. Paul says there are others in the church who are weak. Who are weak. Now the word weak here has two possibilities. Maybe it's both. First, those who are weak in their skills or ability. Now listen to me. That's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And here's why. God has equipped each of us with an ability. We usually call them a talent. Now, some people were equipped with five talents. And other people were equipped with two, but we also know that there were others who only received one. God does not expect from us what we do not have the ability to do, but he does expect from us that we do what we can do. If you have five talents, that's your responsibility. But if you don't, you cannot give what you don't have. So there are those who are weak in the fact that they're not five talent. They're one talent. But if you are one talent and use it, you are as faithful in the eyes of God as somebody with five talents. So there are those in the church who are idle. There are those who are faint-hearted, that is, they're timid. There are those who are weak. And then four, he talks about being patient with all. So he doesn't mention this one, but I'm going to mention it. And that is fourth, there are those in the church who are spiritually mature. They're spiritually mature. And this is what we all are to strive for. This is what we are all trying to get to. We're trying to become. We're trying to become more and more like Christ. We want to live so that our light can shine and that God can be glorified. Matthew 5, 16. Now watch this. Watch this. Look at verse 14. Paul says, in the church, there are those who are idle. They're not doing what they are supposed to do. Paul says that in the church there are those who are faint-hearted. They are weak of heart. They are easily weighed down by their lives. They are easily beset by the stress. Everything stresses them. Thirdly, Paul says there are those in the church who are weak. Now, that weak might be, in their skill, or that weak might be in their character. In their character. Now, what causes a Christian to become weak of character is because they do not spiritually mature like they should, and the supreme example of that are the Christians in Corinth. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, Paul addresses them. And he says, I would like to address you as being spiritual, but I can't. He says, because you're not. He says, you're not. He says, you are carnal. So all of these problems, listen, all of these problems have beset on the church at Corinth. They were a mess. They were messed up in every area. And the problem is they had not spiritually matured. So what were they? They were spiritually weak. And there are those in the church who are weak. And then there are those who are spiritually mature. Now you see that in that verse? Now notice the second thing. I want you to notice in that verse now what Paul says needs to be done with these people. Look what he says needs to be done. He says, stand alongside the brethren. Number one, what do we do with those who are idle? What do we do with those who are evading responsibility? They are not doing what the Bible commands. What are we supposed to do? Paul says we are supposed to admonish the idle. Your translation may say warn the idle. The word admonish or the word warn literally means to alert them to the consequences of their actions. Paul says, I want you to come up alongside of those who are evading their responsibility as Christians. And Paul said, I want you to come up alongside of them. And Paul says, I want you to alert them to the consequences of their actions. Brethren who do not follow the scriptures, that action in an abundance cannot be tolerated. Because a Christian who is idle, a Christian who evades responsibility, a Christian who turns his nose to the commandments of the Word of God, that Christian needs to be admonished because that Christian soul is in grave danger. So Paul says, you're going to make things right in the church. The first thing you do is you alert the one who's not what they're doing, what they're supposed to do. You alert them to the consequences of their actions. Their soul is in danger. So what do we do with the idle? Warn them. Admonish them. Tell them what this is about. Look at the verse. The second thing he says here about what to do is he says to encourage the faint-hearted. The word courage there, encourage, means to comfort. To comfort. People who have hearts that are easily beset by the stresses of life, every molehill's a mountain, and they'd do better if they could. They don't like they are the they don't like that they are the way they are. Paul says, these brethren, they need to be encouraged. They need to be comforted. Listen, discouragement in a Christian is a bad thing. Because if you get a Christian who is discouraged, pretty soon you're going to have another one who's discouraged. Because discouragement is contagious. Discouragement is contagious. Now listen to me. The remedy for discouragement is encouragement. And in, earlier in the book, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12, that's exactly what Paul says. We're going to encourage you. We are going to encourage you. Listen. People who are jumping off their responsibility and not doing what they know that they ought to do, they need to be admonished. But people whose hearts are easily stressed, Paul says, you need to comfort them. You need to encourage them. Look at the verse. Look at the third thing. What do we do with these people? What do we do with these people? Thirdly, Paul says to help the weak. Help the weak. The word help there means to hold firmly. Hold firmly. Now, let's be honest. Sometimes it's easy to become impatient with the weak. Amen. Because we want more out of them than they can give us. We do. Look, come on. You can do this. You can, listen, they can't. They can't. And so it's easy for us to become impatient with them. Because, you know, we're standing there with who we are and what we can do. And we've been Christians forever. And this may be somebody, you know, bless their heart. Their lives are shattered. They've been through everything. They're weak-hearted. They're faint-hearted. They're beset. And we're looking at them. And we're saying, yeah, you can climb that mountain. And we become impatient when they can't climb it. Bless God, nobody wants to climb it more than they do. They just can't. They just can't. Look what he says then at the end of the verse. At the end of the verse, he says, be patient with them all. Listen to me. You know what that means? Be patient with folks who are idle. Well, I'm going to admonish them. You ought to admonish them, but be patient with them. Be patient with those who are weak-hearted, who are easily weighed down by stuff. Be patient. Be patient with those who are weak. Are you listening? And be patient with those who are spiritually mature. You have to be patient with those who are spiritually mature. You know why? Because a lot of times, those who are spiritually mature think they're always right. And when you think that, that is a small step into just arrogance. Now, look at the order of this. Look at the order of it. Admonish the idle. Encourage the weak, the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Look at the order. We are to admonish, warn the idle. Listen, don't admonish the faint-hearted. We encourage them. Don't encourage the idol. They don't need to be encouraged. We warn them. Hold tightly those who are weak. You see the order here? There's a certain, with these people, there's a certain, in that group, this group you admonish. This group you encourage. This group you can help. This group be patient with all. But don't get the wrong thing going in the wrong group. Does that make sense? There's the four group of people. Secondly, here's what Paul said, do with them. Now, third thing I want you to notice. Okay, who's supposed to do this? Who's supposed to do this? You know that? I mean, okay, admonish the idle. Okay, encourage the faint-hearted. Okay, help the weak. All right, be patient. Now, there's two groups that can do this. First, turn back to the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6 and verse 1. Paul said, brethren, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. So this is a work that is to be done by the spiritual. Because the spiritual will have a discernment about them. This brother is idle. Well, I thought he was, no, he's not doing what he ought to do. This brother is faint-hearted. This sister is weak. So the spiritual have a discernment from Scripture that they can use. So the spirit, this is a work that the spiritual can do. But now I want you to listen to me carefully. The second group who can help here is anybody who can help them. Anybody who can help them. Listen. If you know somebody who is weak and you can help them, then help them. You don't need a note from the elders. Just help them. Because you know what? You might be the only one who knows about that situation. Because a lot of times people come and say, well, why haven't you done something about so-and-so? And I'm like, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. You're asking me why I haven't done something, and I don't have a clue what you're talking about. You know all about it, and you haven't done anything. You understand what I'm saying? If you can help, help. Why am I mess it up? How are you going to mess it up? Just help them. If somebody is worried, encourage them. Encourage them. Those who are spiritual can do this work, but anybody who can do this hurt can do this work if they understand that. Again, you may know them better than anybody else here. If you can help, you help. Because this is for certain. This is for certain. If we're going to make things right in the church, then everybody's got to have a hand in it. Everybody's got to have a hand in it. And there are going to be those who evade responsibility. Well, why so-and-so like that? You know what? They're idle. They're idle. Other people are going to be weak-hearted. They're going to be easily stressed. And you might give them something real simple, and they're just all tore up about it. And that's okay. That's okay. We'll find something else. And other people may be weak. I mean, you can take a person. Here's what I say. I believe everybody needs to stay in their lane. That's why I don't lead the singing. Because if I led singing, I'd be out of my lane. Stay in your lane. Do what you can do. Do what you can do. And then we have to be patient with everybody. We have to be patient with people who don't know anything. And we got to be patient with people who think they know everything. Look at the verse one more time. We're done. Look at it one more time. Come alongside, brethren, and admonish the idle. Come alongside and encourage the faint-hearted. Come alongside and help the weak. And come alongside and be patient with them all. The Bible is an incredible, incredible book. It can take just a few words and say so much. And in this passage, this is one of those passages. There's so much richness and so much depth here. But we can use this verse to make things right in the church and to be patient with everybody who's around. If you're here tonight and if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing with all of your heart, turning from your sins, confessing Jesus, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're here, if you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come right now as together we stand and as we sing.